There's a world of opportunity out there beyond the typical 9-to-5, where purpose and grit come together, where the American spirit and ingenuity are welcomed in places that could really use your skills and your experience. We're talking about the Peace Corps, with volunteers living and working in communities around the globe. It's been called the toughest job you'll ever love. Tough because it asks so much of you to dig deeper, get your hands dirty, to go that extra mile, to rise to the occasion, and meet challenges head on. And the love part comes from being part of something bigger than yourself, from building bonds that last a lifetime. It's knowing your hard work transformed lives, including your own. After 65 years, the Peace Corps is still the toughest job you'll ever love. Explore opportunities in more than 60 countries. Learn about benefits and apply at peacecorps.gov/serve.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And we got another special bonus episode for you today with two of my favorite working artists. They're an amazing team that are breaking out on their own with their debut graphic novel, Worst Man, which is coming out August 25th from Titan Comics. We've got a little peek at it, and it is great, so I'm very excited to chat with them. Ladies and gentlemen, Brant and Stein. Brant and Stein, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
You bet.
Thank you for coming on, and thank you for calling in. I know you're in the UK, so we appreciate the transcontinental. Is that what it is? Did I get the word right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, huge effort. Huge effort for us to get this.
So yes, both of you have worked as an art team for a while. We certainly read a bunch of your stuff. And like I said, I've always enjoyed it. People have definitely seen you at DC and Boom and others. There was a book from a couple of years back that you worked on called Crowded, if I remember correctly, yes. That we're big fans of as well. But this is very different. This is a full-on graphic novel that you wrote and are doing the illustration for. Titan is pitching it as White Lotus meets Glass Onion, which is, I feel like, kind of gets towards it, but doesn't exactly describe it, because it is like, I'll give the pitch, you add in anything you want, but it is focusing on a guy who works for hire breaking up weddings. He is forced into a situation where he basically is do or die with this one wedding. He's going to be killed if he doesn't actually break it up. But in the midst of all this, let's just say, I mean, you could probably figure this out for the title, but he strikes up a little bit of a flirtation with the best man, certainly complicating things. So you got your action, you got your rom-com, you got your comedy. Brandon Stein, what did I miss?
I mean, that's a pretty good...
Oh, I did. Okay. End of podcast.
You're hired now.
Although there is also a huge element of farce in there, which, especially in the latter half of the book, that was another thing that we really wanted to get in. Like, cause we're really big fans of proper farce media, stuff like the British movie Death at a Funeral and stuff like that.
Yes. Which
is, just that wonderful thing of everybody working off of assumptions that are wrong and watching how that all plays out is just wonderful.
How many weddings did you ruin for your research for this?
Probably best not to say.
Smart.
Well, just to talk businessy for a second, the way the Titan described it in their press release is, I think they used the word acquisition, which certainly implies to me that this is something that you were both plotting a little bit before Titan came on board. Is that correct, or am I reading between the lines?
Yes. We had before Titan got their hands on it, we had 16 A4 pages of
bullet point
notes detailing the entire plot.
Well, so then, since you are very well known as artists, why was this the project to vault you into writer artists?
It kind of got in our heads and stuck there.
Yeah, it's about that simple, really. Like, everything we've done so far has been a lot of fun, but it's never felt 100% like us. And we wanted to give that a try.
What was it like working on something of this length? Like, it sounds like you came in, like, fully prepared. This was spinning around in your brains for quite some time. But what was it like to actually go about and make a much longer piece?
I mean, we're still doing it. So
yeah.
Like, we're in the last two weeks of the of the coloring now. So yeah, it's definitely been much more of a marathon than anything else we've done.
Well, it's also that thing of like talking to other people we know who make comics and write stuff. We don't do it the way a lot of other people do it.
No,
tell us. It's really interesting. You guys are like a true team, which is something you don't see as much in comics, I feel like.
I mean, yeah, well, on that front, we always talk about ourselves as one cartoonist who conveniently has four hands.
Which is where the pet name came from, because Rostein isn't my legal name, but we couldn't think of a name for the website. And so eventually we just came up with Brantenstein, like Frankenstein. I was like, well, I'm just changing my last name to that for writing so that we're Brantenstein now.
Wait, can I ask a question? This is very stupid, but every time we talk about one of your books on the stack, I'm always tempted to make the joke that Brantenstein is the artist, actually, not the monster. Have you ever gotten that before?
Get out of here.
We haven't, actually.
When he says tempted, he means he does say that.
Briefly did a newsletter that we titled Brantenstein's Monster.
Yes, that's true.
Mm. Oh, that's fun.
Well, so then, before we even get to the writing, actually, when you are doing art, if you are sort of this four-handed monster, how do you handle it? Is it like getting to a point of the page, like, ooh, my wrist is hurting, I'll pass it over to you? Or what actually is the process like?
There is a lot of back and forth.
Yeah, because we discuss what's going to happen together.
Yeah.
Figure out the initial sort of layouts of stuff together most of the time. Sometimes...
One of us might take the lead on layouts if we've got a clearer vision, and then the other will come in and clean it up a bit. It's a very hand-off process all the way through,
because at the beginning part is very fluid about who's doing what, and then it gets to like sort of separating out into pencils and inks. But a lot of it is like when I'm doing the pencils, you will help me a lot. Yeah. Because like I can't make this work. Help. What is wrong with this? I can't tell what the problem is.
So I end up like redoing certain bits of pencils even before they get to the inks, or sometimes redraw them in the inks. And then you sometimes end up going, oh, you misunderstood this, and redraw the inks in the coloring stage. So there's a lot of back and forth.
It's so fascinating.
You can't say any of the elements purely belongs to one of us.
To that point, like, and I think Justin was getting at this as well. You don't normally see people that you can't tell when you're switching artist from page to page. Did you just magically find, oh, we have the exact same style? Did you meet somewhere in the middle at some point? How did you actually find that place where it is so seamless when we're reading a book that has been drawn by you?
You have a two-person house style.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely meeting in the middle. We came from very opposite ends of things.
Really? That is so wild.
Yeah, because
I initially wanted to be an animator. My first year at university, I was going to study animation. And then I started doing it. I was like, this is hell. It's going to be so the same, but ever so slightly different. I'm going to lose my mind. But I really like the storyboarding part of it. And so I found that there was a course in Wales to do comics, which I was like, well, that's similar to storyboarding. And you were already on that course.
Yeah.
And that's where we met.
So I was coming at it much more from like kind of, you know, being inspired by people like Stuart Immonen and stuff like that. And so we've ended up in a place where it's the bastard child of Glenn Keane and Stuart Immonen, really.
Well, then does writing add into the mix now that you're tackling that as well? Or does it feel like just an extension of the same process?
It's definitely the same process. Because, I mean, like when we're doing, because we're both obsessive about detail on every level, which means like when we were plotting out Worst Man,
we knew what every scene was going to be before we started writing the script.
Yeah, like we did like everything from like plot diagramming to like studying, actually dissecting the exact pacing of rom-coms and farces and like, you know, looking for the underlying clockwork of them that makes them tick.
I'll tell you, it takes a lot longer to watch a movie when you're timing every scene.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that is intense. So your notes must be insane. You said you have a lot of bullet points.
Yeah,
but you're like being like, this should take about this far scene is 45 seconds. We want this to feel that same way. Is that what you're doing?
We literally, because we took one movie and we basically saw how many minutes it was and counted how long each scene was. So it was like, oh, these scenes are about this long, so that would translate to this many pages, just to see what kind of pacing that works as.
Well, I think you're getting towards this, and I'm sure you're aware, but comics, very famously, you could read them at your own pace. So how do as creators then, control the reader in a way to make sure they're moving at the pace you need them to move at?
Oh, paneling. Like, it's all in panel choices. And, like, we're very careful about the way any given moment is split up. We don't... I mean, you've seen, like, the first 70 pages. It's not light on paneling because we want to make sure that every single moment has the beats in it that it needs that then should make it flow and read roughly about the speed that we want it to, because no panel has anything extraneous to what it should be reading as.
Do you find, since you are now doing both, that you lean into the art differently because now you're the ones who are controlling the dialogue, like versus the writer saying, you know, writing 5,000 words and then you having to explain, you got to cut that down a little bit so we can see human heads in here. You could actually control the spacing there a little bit better. Does that change things at all?
I mean, we wrote the script very much with the visuals in mind, like, to make sure that, like, so, cause again, like, when we're working with other writers, one of the things we'll do before we do anything else is go through and count all of the dialogue words per page, broken down in, like, per bubble, per balloon, per panel, so that we can, like, we've got a rough idea of what sort of spaces we're working with. And so we could apply that on the front end this time around, and aim for, like, hyper-efficient dialogue that doesn't have anything we don't need to be saying at that point. And then, we'll figure it out around that.
I think the main difference, actually, is because we're completely in control of it. When we were doing layouts, sometimes it was like, well, the scene is the same scene. It was like, oh, this tone, it's not quite hitting the right tone of what we were going for. So we might re-dialogue it a bit for a slight change in mood. So we know exactly what needs to happen, but possibly people are reacting slightly differently to it. It was like, we can do that because, like, well, no one's going to tell us no.
Yeah. It's wild to me what a technical, a visual first, it sounds like, and then a technical, like, nuts and bolts way of approaching the writing, almost coming at it at the end. And I will say, like, a lot of times writers, it's like you write and then you edit down. But it sounds like you guys are so precise. You knew sort of the exact chunk you're looking for, and you're just swapping words. Is that
I mean, like, when we finished the first draft, it was the exact number of pages that the editors had asked for, like, for the length of the book. We didn't plan that in that way of, like, we weren't consciously going, right, we've got to be careful.
No, it's because we did sort of meticulous planning. No, these scenes need to be this long. It's like, well, yeah, this is actually exactly the
right way. Well, they are. They did. You're like, we didn't plan, except we planned every single second.
Yeah, we did. But then, like, when we were writing, we were like, right, we'll just write it out, see how it goes. Yeah. And then we ended up, oh, well, the last page is 228. Okay, we're good.
Talking a little bit about the content of the book rather than the creation, one fun aspect of this is a outwardly and very openly gay caper rom-com romance going on. You know, there was a time, I would say even back when we first started doing this podcast and we were doing it as a live show, we've been doing it for like about 20 years at this point, you had to be in this mode of like, this is a very serious LGBTQ+ book about my real experience, and that's it. Do you feel like the industry has turned enough, even as the world is going to some pretty horrible places, where it allows for storytelling like this?
I honestly don't know.
We certainly hope so.
We hope so. But it's that thing of that, because there are so many serious stories about LGBTQ experiences and stuff, it's like, well, why don't they get any fun rom-coms?
Yeah, like,
why can't they have
these? We like, you know, we are queer and we like rom-coms. Like, there should be some.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not to slag off anybody or anything like that, but no, I feel like that was one of the problems.
The serious media is all really fantastic and very worth having. It's just, why not both?
Also, we're just not very serious people.
No.
Like, right.
I mean, we describe ourselves as clowns. Like, this book is as much as anything else, is a love letter to clowning, because it is completely ludicrous and over the top and farcical and melodramatic, but it's about serious emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and also I feel like it opens up you to so many story points, like to have like a best man, worst man romance. Like, no, that hasn't really, I haven't heard that before, because people just didn't tell those stories. And now you get the chance to tell this awesome, exciting version of that that has all these elements, and you can push it into this like wild, farcical place.
Yeah, and it's coming out pretty well for something that like started off with just like one day just
talking on the dog walk.
Yeah, just talking on the dog walk. I was like, why isn't there a worst man? And then that was that was it. Like, it all came from that. And then, I mean,
most of our ideas come from walking the dog.
Yeah.
Great writing tool. I mean, I've been the worst man in a lot of weddings, so I will say.
There is a line, and maybe this is just a press release line, maybe this doesn't come for you, but stood out at me in the thing that they initially sent with the preview a couple of months back, but that worst man is all the best things about reading one more chapter of your favorite fan fiction wrapped up in 228 pages. Do you read fan fiction? And if so, what are you into?
I don't have the time, but I used to read a lot of it. Mm-hmm. Especially as a teenager, I grew up reading a lot of fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, I had nothing else to do. So my mum would drop me off at the library, and I'd just be like, this is aging me. I would save stuff onto floppy disks to take home to read.
Wow.
Because it's like, well...
Also, that's such a you thing to go to the library and use it for the internet to read fan fiction. I spent my childhood in the library reading books.
We grew up in very different areas.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, which is not to knock fan fiction, because I do really enjoy it myself, but it is just very funny to specifically be getting it at the library.
I do want to ask you, just to take a little bit of a swerve, about an entirely different project that came out almost a year ago now that I want to couch this in. I loved, but caused some controversy online. You did the art for the Harley Quinn Fartacular, the scratch and sniff issue, which, again, I want to emphasize, I thought was great. And I
very positive on our podcast.
Yes, I remember telling everybody, like, I don't want to shame anybody, but you're being stupid if you're getting angry about this book, because books should be sillier. What was it like from your end when that came out?
The death threats were fun.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. We only got a couple. Joanne got worse.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But I think we get off quite lightly with that sort of thing, because we're a joint entity. People don't really know how to approach us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it saves us from a lot of hate mail, because people just... The sort of people who get really angry about these things are also dumb enough to get too confused to really threaten us properly.
I'm so sorry that happened. That is insane about a fart book, but...
Yeah, I know. Like,
well, the thing is, like, so many people thought it was a fetish book.
Okay.
And then I was like, hey, if we were going to be doing a fetish book, we'd go for the furries. That's where the money is.
100%.
Great answer.
I mean, it was just that really kind of neo-Puritan thing, isn't it? Of, well, I don't like this, so I don't understand why people are putting effort into it, which means they must be doing it for sex, the only thing that I'm motivated by because I'm horny and repressed.
It was very weird.
It's a terrible chain of logic that a lot of people follow, unfortunately.
I mean, when we were approached to do it, that didn't occur to me. I was like, hey, what's the point?
I agree. I feel like no one walked into that, looked at that book, was like, this is going to be a real hot button to make off the stands.
I mean, it was pitched, it was literally pitched to us as, hey, we've got a really dumb idea that, that Marie Javins thinks is hilarious. And it's about farts. Do you want to draw it?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That'd be great.
And sure, there will be death threats. It's a fart book, after all. But...
So, oh, my God. That is not what I necessarily expected. I'm sorry you went through that. And it is crazy because for anybody who is listening who hasn't read the book, it is very funny. It is packed with so many puns. And it's also really sweet. Like, it's a very sweet book about Harley and Ivy's relationship.
Which is another thing why I suspect it falls afoul of a lot of the modern conservatives, because it's it's talking about vulnerability and openness in relationships, which isn't great for them.
Yeah, it's not their milieu, you could say.
No, exactly. So, like, it's in hindsight, it's very easy to see why it pissed off the people it did, but...
Hopefully this is not
just laughing all through it.
Hopefully this is not picking at a wound. I am actually curious, like, when you're drawing these bits, you draw so many farts and different types of farts in there. Was there anything that you got notes from DC like, that's a little too much. That cloud is too big on this page.
Yeah.
No. We mostly got all caps enthusiasm.
All right.
That's great.
I like we thought actually when we pitched the cover that they ended up picking, we thought that was going too far.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that was the one they liked the most.
And did you know the cover was going to be Scratch and Sniff when you drew it?
The cover Scratch and Sniff?
I believe so, isn't it?
Am I wrong? The cover was Scratch and Sniff as well.
I think so. I could be wrong.
I mean, that makes sense. But no, we didn't know
that bit.
No.
All right. Well, that's breaking news, I guess. There you go. sorry you went through that. That stinks.
Really good stuff, Alex.
That was an accident. I will take credit when I can get it, but that was a mistake.
Not that one.
Getting back to worst man, though, and just starting to wrap up a little bit, as you are getting towards the finish line in terms of creating it, what do you want to tease about the book? Obviously, we've talked a lot about the content, but anything people should know if they are looking forward to pre-ordering it before it comes out in August?
I mean, it's for people who love comedy. It's very much designed. I mean, like going back to the kind of like, you know, the fan fiction thing, is very much designed around certain, not like to be like fan fiction, but are designed around similar DNA of that, like a very friction filled relationship and, you know, lots of aggressive sexual tension back and forth and all that. It's got a
large cast of ridiculous people.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's got an incredibly buff bear and a skinny twink going, kind of going at it, all while being kind of evilly sneered at by a cruel power dom mommy. So, you know.
And we didn't really talk too much about, people know your style a bit, but like the colors are so bright and engaging. It feels just like every page feels like, oh, I got to keep going. You accelerate through it as opposed to getting caught up because it just has such a vibrancy to it.
Thank you.
So it's really awesome.
Yeah. I mean, like the whole thing was designed to be propulsive in the way it's read.
It's there.
From the intense number of panels per page, which we regretted.
No, but it really works. And honestly, I didn't think this at first, but when you talk about how much farce you were starting with when you're working on this, that feels like the engine of it. That's the pace that you so meticulously put together for this.
Yeah,
it's built around that. It's cool.
Yeah, and like so, I mean, you guys have read the first 70 odd pages, so you're almost at the end of this. You've almost read to the end of the setup of in the way the farces have.
It gets much faster.
It accelerates so much.
Yeah, but even this is like it moves, and that's great.
Yeah, and your characters. I mean,
that because
like
especially like some of the scenes in the first 70 pages are the longest we've got. Mm. So the fact that it still feels like it's really moving when like almost all the scenes after where you've read are like 2 to 3 pages at most.
Yeah.
No, it totally works. It is a ton of fun. Everybody should pre-order it and pick it up. Brandenstein, you truly are not the monster. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nothing.